on this Sunday, on which we also honor as a commemoration the great founder, St. John Cantius, great Polish priest, who suffered tremendously for Christ, as we ultimately will have to suffer for Christ if we are worth our medal. We see that St. Paul, in the first place, in the epistle, tells us that he is confident, he is joyful, he is happy in the Lord Jesus because he has begun a good work in us. And he has indeed, through the gift of faith, through the gift of baptism and the other sacraments, he has begun a good work, a holy work, a happy work in us. And of course, he has begun it. It is up to now. It is now up to us to continue and to finish. And of course, there is no happy ending unless we end up in purgatory or heaven. If by our own fault and by our own commission or omission, and both are bad, we end up in the fires of hell, that's it. It's eternal. It's finished and done with. So we must not, under any way, end there. We must do everything in this life through our fidelity to Christ, to prayer, to His holy church. Make sure that we end up in purgatory, that we may end up in heaven. What a wondrous thing that will be. I look forward very much to the moment when I meet the great judge, and the Blessed Mother will be my advocate, and I pray to her every day for that. And then they will say, "Come up, good and faithful servant," I hope. But of course, all of us are sinners, no least I, and there may be time in purgatory. So after I die, pray for me that I may be released from the fires of purgatory, the happy fires, but very, very painful fires. Not all the pains of this world are enough for us to understand how much the pains of purgatory are. And then, of course, in the Gospel, we see a very beautiful event, a very beautiful episode of our Lord's public ministry. Now here we have the Holy Spirit guiding St. Matthew. On the one hand, we have the Pharisees and their scribes. And on the other hand, we have the Herodians. What's interesting is that they're both mortal enemies. They hate each other horribly. But you know, whenever there are two mortal enemies, the only way to unite them is to find a third, more hateful enemy to them. And who is that? In this case, it is Jesus Christ. And so, the Herodians and the Pharisees find their enemy in Jesus Christ. And so they thinking, "Oh, we're gonna get him one way or the other." Now, of course, this incident and some of the examples of it don't make very much sense here in America. In America, no matter who is the president, he's not on the coinage. If we were in Britain, or any part of the Commonwealth of Britain, it is the Queen or the King who is on the coins and the bills. So that makes more sense to them. So in Britain, it would be King Charles. In Spain, it would be King Philip, and so forth. But otherwise, it's whoever they decide, here too. And so, obviously, it's not George Washington's or any of the other presidents that are on our coinage. Jefferson or whoever, Grant. Ulysses S. Grant is a little better, of course. But anyway, it is not they. They're not the ones who own the money. It is the Republic, the country. And so it doesn't make as much sense. But it still makes sense. The example is not lost because our Lord speaks to all men of all times. So they asked, to whom should we give the tax, the tithe, that is requested, or rather demanded by the government? In this case, in our country, it's the IRS. Should we give it to God or to Caesar? And so Jesus says, give me a coin and I will tell you something about it. So they give him a coin. Obviously, it's not a penny, as in America. It was a bigger coin. Like I always say, I wish we could get a translation that is not British. A lot of this British stuff makes no sense to most of us. And so he looks at the coin and he says, whose inscription is this? Whose picture is this? And they say, Caesar. And whose inscription underneath the picture is it? And of course it says, Cesare Augusto, Imperator, Caesar Augustus, Emperor. And so our Lord says, well, is his picture on his coin, give it to him. But give to God what belongs to God. Now what does that mean for us? It means that yes, of course, we have to pay taxes and all the other things. And of course, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But our coinage for ourselves, for you and me, is not what's on that dollar or $20 or $50 or that nickel or quarter. Our coinage is God, our allegiance to God, our faith in God, our dependence on God, and our wish to submit everything to Him. And that includes, and this of course a lot of people don't understand, that includes all our material goods, that we must give them up to Him for whatever He wants. Look at St. Peter. He says to Christ, Lord, we have given up everything to follow Thee. What is in it for us? And we could say the same thing. Our Lord says to St. Peter, you will get what you deserve to get. And so He will say to all of us, you will get what you deserve to get. If you give to our Lord Jesus Christ everything that is yours, willingly, without constraint, then He will give you more. And of course, it will be in a couple of weeks' time, but this is the time of the year when we reassess as we end the year and seek to get deductions and so forth, that we see about our tithe. And many people do not tithe. Some people have been using those orange envelopes, which I have retrieved. The parish could be making a lot better income for the parish things if people were more generous. And of course, a lot of people think, well, we don't want to give it to the church, we don't want to give it to the diocese or the bishop. Either way, one way or the other, the diocese is going to get what's theirs. But if we don't have enough money to pay for the expenses of the parish, there will not be a parish. And so it's very important that we realize that this is ultimately for God. It is not for the bishop or the diocese or for me or for anybody else. It is for God. So we must not deny to God what is God's. Render unto the diocese what is the diocese, and to God what is God's. The majority of it stays here, where we pay for the electric bill, the gas bill, etc., etc., etc. If we can't pay for that, then it's finished. It's closed doors, St. Stephen parking lot. And you know, let me tell you, there are some people next door and elsewhere that would love to tear this place down, as beautiful as it is. It's one of the most beautiful parishes in the diocese. But they don't care. Look at the buildings they're putting up everywhere. A gym in a high school somewhere is more attractive. And their liturgies are worse than some jamboree for a football game or a basketball game. We have the best of the best, and we give to God the best of the gift, the best. We need to give to God what is God's. And a lot of times people say, well, I'm not making as much, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. And basically you have to say to them, do you think that God is going to answer your needs if you're not obedient to Him? If you are holding back from God, do you think He's going to give you anything? Do you not realize that everything you have and will have is from God? Then stop the nonsense and give unto God what is God's. And you will see. You will see that you will have more than you need. More than you ever dreamt of. And I can assure you, this is true. In myself and in many people that I know. So let us give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Let us give to God what is God. And in your case and mine, ultimately everything is God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.